All right, joining us now, we're going to speak with Andrew McCarthy. He's a former federal prosecutor, contributing editor at National Review. Andrew, good morning and welcome to Mornings on the Mall.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You have a very interesting piece, something I found very, very interesting.
As usual, yeah.
I just really wanted to talk to you about this. I found this riveting, and it's a really good read, National Review. Hillary Clinton and the Barack Obama emails are the key to the lack of a Clinton indictment, and you lay out all the evidence that is right in front of our faces that this was predetermined and why. Why wasn't she ever indicted?
Well, I think... Mary, the problem with the way this is analyzed is everybody is kind of looking at it as a bottom-up kind of an outcome, because the FBI people were the people most out front, which is always the case because they're the investigators. They're the people who are out doing the where the rubber meets the road kind of work. But what actually happened, I think, in the Clinton emails case is that it's a top-down decision. President Obama signaled very strongly in April of 2016 that he didn't want Mrs. Clinton charged, and I really think the rest is details. I know they're very interesting details for all of us, but the outcome was determined, and everything else was about bringing the outcome about in a way that looked like she was being exonerated by an extensive, exhaustive FBI investigation, rather than what actually happened, which was that the boss decided she wasn't going to be charged. And I think one of the main reasons she was not going to be charged is he engaged in the same behavior that she did, albeit in a much smaller scale. About probably less than two dozen times, there are exchanges of emails between the president and his secretary of state. And, you know, we know that they were not talking about yoga routines in Chelsea's wedding. You know, if you look at the relationship between those two highest level U.S. government positions, consider it in the context of President Obama's own executive order on what things are, what subject matters are presumptively classified. We can glean that they were talking about classified matters. They were doing it over a channel that President Obama had to know was an unsecure, non-government channel. So he was involved in the same kind of transmission outside of authorized channels of classified information that she was. They managed to seal those conversations under a dubious presidential records privilege. And because the media decided to sleep through the whole thing, they never had to explain that the conversations contained classified information. President Obama never had to use the term executive privilege with all of its Watergate-type implications. But I think the fact is that if you charge Mrs. Clinton with mishandling classified information, you couldn't have done that without demonstrating that President Obama had engaged in the same behavior, because those transmissions, those exchanges of email would have been relevant.
Yeah, that latter point seems like, at least on its face, the most obvious thing that would have caught Obama here in a trap. But you're gleaning from all of this that the contents of their conversations may have involved or explicitly involved, in your mind, the notion of him covering up for her?
No. I think they involved ordinary classified matters that a president and a secretary of state would be talking about. And I should point out that when Petraeus was prosecuted for mishandling classified information, the notes that they prosecuted him on, as the Justice Department described them in his trial, they said it involved notes of his conversations with the President of the United States, because those matters are classified. And, you know, Petraeus never came out and said, "Oh, but my notebooks aren't marked classified." And that's because he knew, and the president knew, and everybody knows, that when government officials who have these high-level security clearances, when they exchange information with each other outside secure channels, they are unlawfully transmitting classified information, even if the stuff is not marked classified.
Can I ask you one quick question on Hillary Clinton being under oath during her actual conversation with the FBI? It keeps on coming up, and people keep saying that it doesn't matter if she was under oath or not. It's a crime to lie to the FBI. What is the difference here? Can you explain it?
Yeah, as a matter of routine, the FBI does not put people under oath when they interview them. This was not, okay. Mrs. Clinton did get a lot of special treatment here, but just not in this particular.
Okay.
When the FBI interviews people, they don't put them under oath. There is a crime called perjury, which is when you lie in court or in the grand jury or in congressional testimony when you're under oath.
Yep.
Then there's another law. There's another federal crime under Section 1001 of the Federal Penal Code called making false statements or material omissions, which means when you tell a lie to agents who are conducting an official investigation, that too is a crime, even though you're not under oath, because it obstructs their investigation.
Okay, got you. Thank you.
I just want to go back to wrap this up here about this email thing between President Obama and Hillary Clinton, and we know that he used a pseudonym, he used a different account with a different name on it, apparently, allegedly, to email her private account, not the government account. As we go through all of these investigations and we get closer and closer to what really happened, will we ever find out that this went back to Obama?
I don't think so, because unless they reopened the emails investigation in connection with Mrs. Clinton, there probably wouldn't be a reason to do it. The president did declare this privilege. Nobody seemed to get their nose out of joint over it. I think it would have been important to find out what those conversations were about. I think certainly, for example, if Mueller wants to depose or have a interview with Trump,
yep,
about what his state of mind was with respect to firing Comey or whatever they want to ask him about,
yes,
I don't see how it wouldn't have been relevant in the criminal investigation of Mrs. Clinton to find out what the conversations between Clinton and Obama are about. That seems to me to be more relevant to an obvious criminal transaction than the Trump situation, which, as a matter of constitutional law, is not obstruction of justice.
All right, Andrew McCarthy, thank you. So sorry we have to leave it there. There's a lot to talk to you about, so we'll have you back soon, sir.
Thanks so much.